Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. I do want to let you know before we go on any further that Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we'd love to invite you to come be with us if you are in the listening area. Maybe you live here, you're looking for a church home, maybe you're passing through, visiting in the high country. It doesn't matter. We'd love for you to come and visit. We are located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, just a few miles outside of Boone, off of Highway 105 South. And we have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and you can find out all kinds of good information there. But we wanted to let you know that before we got started today. I want to say hello to Noah. He's helping us today, and I really do appreciate that. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be here as always. We do want to say welcome to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. I want to say welcome to those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and if you are a regular listener, you will know that we've been in a series now for a couple of months. I believe we started this in January. The middle of January, or maybe the second week in January, but we've been bringing a series entitled Heroes of Prayer. And if this has not helped anybody else, it sure has helped me. And it's been a blessing to me in my own personal prayer life. What we have been doing every week is alternating in and out of the Bible. We'll take a figure in the Bible, and then we'll take a historical example. Last week, we looked back in history to a man named George Whitefield. And the week before that, we looked at Samuel in the Bible, the prophet Samuel. And so this week, we're coming back into the Bible. We're going to look at a little known individual out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. And I think I ought to go ahead and just read those two verses. Maybe you've heard of this individual. Maybe you have not. His name is Jabez. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. This is known as the prayer of Jabez, or I have a note in my Bible, of Jabez and his prayer. Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book several years ago, and the name of that book was The Prayer of Jabez, and maybe you've heard of that. I don't know. I'm going to guess 15, 20 years ago, and it was a pretty popular book, in the Christian circles, Christian bookstore and places like that. And a lot of people got that book and read it. Maybe you're familiar with it, maybe not. Jabez, though, he may be called one of the unsung heroes of the Bible, or an unsung hero of prayer. He's a little-known hero of prayer. I preached a message one time years ago, and I gave the title to this, The Biggest Little Prayer in the Bible. The Biggest Little Prayer in the Bible. And when we think about Jabez, if you know anything about 1 Chronicles, you come through the Bible, we're in the big earlier books in the Old Testament. We've got 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You come along to 1 Chronicles here, and what you have to begin with, 9 chapters of names hard to pronounce. You have Israel's family tree, little or no commentary whatsoever. I mean, it's just name after name after name, begot so-and-so, of here and just says a little bit about them. I'll just pick out a verse, verse 15. And the sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Iru, Elah, Nahum, and the sons of Elah, even Kenaz. And I mean, it just goes on for 9 chapters here. But right in the middle of it, we find one person. We find one prayer. He's only mentioned one time in the Bible. One time we find the prayer of Jabez, and we find him here and something about him. My desire is to encourage you as you listen in from week to week, and we're going through this series about heroes of prayer, and my desire is to encourage you in your prayer life. Now, here's what is encouraging to me when I study about Jabez. He is not a king. He's not a king's son. We don't see that God spoke to him, called him, gave him a specific calling in his life. His parents are not famous. He's just somebody in the family tree. But it just seems like Jabez stands up and says, you know what? I want God to bless me. And I want to be something for God in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my situation. And God did do something for him. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this, but the last part of verse number 10 says, and God granted him that which he requested. But here's a man. We know very little about Jabez from the Bible. We would say about Jabez, what little bit we know about him, that he had a strike. Strike one from his birth, and that is in his name. Now, in the Bible, this is very interesting. Names, the meaning of the name is many times given the first time you find that name mentioned. So it says in verse number 9, it says, his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez's name means sorrow or sorrowful. How would you like to have a name that meant sorrow? How would you like to have a name that meant mourning? You talk about not building up a person's self-esteem. Well, his name. I think, you know, what kind of a nickname did he have? Oh, here comes old sorry. That's what his name means, sorrow. Good morning, mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. That's what his name meant. And so, We come to Jabez, and whatever the reason was, when his mother saw him when his mother named him, there was something sorrowful associated with his birth. Now, here's how we can relate to Jabez. Most Christians spend their lives just one of many, not having or not looking for a special call upon their life, maybe not even believing that they can or even should be anything or do anything specific for the Lord. A lot of times people go along feeling unworthy about their own lives, unimportant, unchosen, unused by the Lord. Jabez may have felt that way, but Jabez prayed a little prayer in faith, and it changed his life for the rest of his life. And we're going to look in the time remaining at what he actually prayed. But Jabez prayed in faith, and that is the blessing that I get out of him. He just pops up out of nowhere and lays hold of the Lord by faith. And it says in verse 10, and God granted him that which he requested. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a missionary. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a scribe, a high priest, or anything like that. He's just somebody that begins to pray and believe God, and God answers his prayer. Now, there are four things. Pardon me. There's four things in the prayer of Jabez that I want to point out in the time we have remaining. We're going to verse number 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Now, we know something about praying for blessings. Most people, when they pray, and I'm thinking about, you know, you go to church and you hear somebody pray, what do we pray? Lord, bless the church, bless the pastor, bless the missionaries, bless the Sunday school teachers, bless all those who are sick, bless and help our country. You know, we know about praying for others, and we've talked about this several times in the past few weeks. That's called intercessory prayer, and we ought to pray for others. But last week, when we looked at George Whitefield, he brought up, and he was teaching and preaching on prayer, he said first we ought to pray for ourselves, and then we ought to pray for one another. And Jabez, he starts out praying for himself. He didn't say, bless my mom and my dad, my little sister. He said, bless me. He didn't just say, bless me, but he said, bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. We might look at that. That word indeed, that's putting an exclamation point on that thing. Lord, I really need you to bless me. Now, a lot of people, they might say, well, that's selfish to pray that way. That's self-serving to think that way. Is it even right to pray that God would bless us? If you think that God does not want us to pray that He would bless us, or that we're asking for too much, then you don't have a correct understanding of the nature of God. If we look over in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 over there says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing comes from God. We have a Father that delights to bless and give to His children. He's not greedy about His blessings. He's not stingy with His blessings. In fact, many times we fail to be blessed just because we fail to ask. James chapter 4, verse 2, the last part of the verse, ye have not because ye ask not. And so as we find in the Bible, we study about prayer, God does want to bless. He wants to bless you in order that He would get glory and we would give a testimony praising Him for what He has done for us. Now, when we're talking about prayer, when I'm asking about God bless me, Lord, would you bless me? I'm not saying, God, would you give me the newest car coming off the assembly line? What some of these cars cost today cost more than the first house I ever built. It's just crazy. It's amazing that to go and buy a new pickup that had everything on it that you could imagine that you ever wanted would be $50,000 or $60,000. That's not the kind of blessing I'm talking about praying for. That's not the kind of person that Jabez was. But God does want to bless you to the point that He gets glory and honor out of your life. Now, I can say today, the Lord has blessed me. And I can say that and mean it with all of my heart. God's blessed me in so many ways. I was talking to my little girl the other day. She's almost 8 years old. She's not eight, she's seven, but she's almost 8 years old. And we were talking about something, and she said, I'm rich. And I said, who told you that? What do you mean by that? And he said, I've asked you before, and you told me that we were rich. We are rich. We're rich with the blessings of the Lord. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So God's blessing, it'll make you rich, and He doesn't add sorrow along with it. So that's how Jabez began his prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Don't be afraid to pray and ask, God, would you bless me? God, would you bless my family? Would you bless my business? God, would you bless my community, my county, my state, my country? We really need the blessing of the Lord. Now, he believed when he prayed, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Now, the second thing Jabez prays about, he asks, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Now, evidently Jabez was some kind of a frontiersman, some kind of a what we would look at in American language and say, well, maybe he was a pioneer type person, and he liked to expand. He liked to explore. He liked to see what was beyond the next horizon. He liked to go a little further. He liked to make new claims. And that's what he prayed about here. And enlarge my coast. You see, in the Bible, when somebody's coast is enlarged or when they have more land, that's what he's talking about. Land was a symbol of wealth. It was a symbol of influence. It was a symbol of authority. And so Jabez said that that would enlarge my coast. Now let's think about that spiritually just a few minutes. If in the Bible days real estate meant influence, let's think about it spiritually. How's your spiritual influence? How is your coast being enlarged for the Lord? It is God's will for the coastline to be enlarged. I'm talking about the coastline of the church. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus told the disciples early on, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He intends for his word to go throughout all the earth. And he intends for us to take property for him. And I'm not talking about in a governmental type way. I'm not talking about that. But he just intends for his honor and for his glory, for his kingdom to grow. God's will for the church is the coast, our influence, to be enlarged. God wants to use us in ways we never, ever dreamed of. Jabez had that kind of a vision. I think about starting out as a young pastor, and I've been preaching now over 25 years, and I thank the Lord for that. But you know, when I first started preaching, the great majority of the churches that I preached in, most of them were like this. They didn't even have hot water running in the bathrooms. Now, it wasn't that they were stingy, but, you know, nobody's there during the week. And, you know, they just had cold running water. And I've kidded down through the years. And I said, boy, when I started preaching in churches that had hot running water in the bathroom, I knew I was really, you know, moving up in the world. But the fact is, if I look back at some of those churches I preached in years ago, that didn't have hot running water in the restrooms, a lot of them now, they do. They, through the years, over the past 20, 25 years, God has blessed them to the point that they've got to the place, and that's just a sign of the blessing of God. But along with that, more missionaries, I would say churches in our county, the ones that I'm familiar with, I would say they support more missionaries now than they ever have before. Putting more money into missions, doing more to get the gospel out, buying Bibles, sending tracts. A lot of churches around are doing good things to enlarge the coast, to get the gospel out for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So that's just one way our coast could be enlarged. And so Jabez prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me." Now, I like this. "And that thine hand might be with me." As I study in the Bible, the hand of the Lord, the hand of the Lord is very interesting in the Bible. The hand of the Lord represents God's power, God's presence. It represents victory. It represents salvation in the Bible. Isaiah 59, verse number 1 says, "His hand is not shortened that it cannot save." And so just if you want an interesting study, study out the hand of the Lord in the Bible. I'm going to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 24, "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty." Psalms 98, verse number 1, "His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Acts chapter 11, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed." God's hand is needed where we serve him. What we do for the Lord, actually, he's the one that does it. It has to be His hand. God has called us to live beyond what we are able to do. That is what is being taught in John chapter number 15 when Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The juice, the fruit, the life comes from the vine to the branches. And there's where the fruit comes, but you have to be in the vine. And so he talks about abide in me. And so God's hand is needed when we serve Him, when we live for Him. I don't understand why the Lord does some of the things that He does. I don't understand why the Lord would call me to preach. I don't understand why God would put me into the radio ministry years ago. I'll tell you just quickly how that came about. I mean, if you knew me, and some of you do and some of you don't, but if you knew me growing up, I was the shyest of the shy. I mean, I was scared to death to raise my hand in class, to read a report. I'd just as soon play hooky, get an F, never have to do that. I mean, it scared me to death. And so for years and years, I argued with the Lord when He called me to preach. I sort of, you know, like Moses, I cannot speak. Get somebody else. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But God, He affirmed it in my heart that He had called me to preach. And I'd been preaching a few years, maybe one or two, something like that. And there was a Christian radio station started over here in Blowing Rock. And I was working at the college then, and I would be out in my truck, and I was a vendor. I'd put candy in machines. That's what I was doing. And I was listening to the radio station, and there was a preacher on there. And boy, I was listening to that, and I was getting such a blessing out of that. And I began to pray for him. And in praying for him, I said, Lord, raise up more preachers to be on the radio. Wouldn't that be good if there's just a bunch of them on there? What a blessing that would be. And I prayed that the Lord would do that. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, you do it. And I argued back, you know how we do. I said, no, I didn't mean for me to do it. I want somebody to do it, somebody else to do it. But that was the first time God ever spoke to my heart about being on the radio. Now, I'll tell you, it's an intimidating thing. It's an intimidating thing to preach, to pastor, all of these things. And no man feels sufficient for these things. But I'll tell you what, if the hand of the Lord is with you, you will be all right. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And so the Lord knows what He's doing, and His hand needs to be with us. He knows what He's doing. I cannot go it alone. You cannot go it alone. But if His hand is with you, I'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. I'm not just speaking from a pastor standpoint. I realize most of the people listening in are not you're not a pastor, you're not a missionary, but you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a parent, you're a teacher, you're trying to raise your family, you're trying to work full time, you're trying to tie all these things together and trying to go to church and live for God and raise your family in a society that seems like it doesn't want anything to do with the Lord. We'll be all right. His hand will be with us, and it'll be all right. I promise you that. That's what Jabez prayed. And old Jabez, his name meant sorrow. We don't even know anything about his family, but he had a strike against him from the beginning. And he prayed these things. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's number one. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. And then he goes on. He asks something else, number four. And that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And that thou may, let me read that again. He said, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And there's a few things in those verses. And of course, we see we're just about ready to run out of time. But he said, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Evil is bad. That's what evil means. It's not just wicked, but bad things. Keep me from the things that, you know, there's a lot of things out here that will just grieve you to death. The state of society, the political process, the lack of morality. You can get sucked into all this stuff, and it will just take all the spiritual life out of you. It will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your peace. It will rob you the blessed hope. Jabez said, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Don't let me get drawn into all that stuff, that it ruins and wrecks my spiritual life. I believe that's a good prayer. And I believe we need that prayer just as much today as we have at any other time. And so Jabez, what do we know about him? Not very much. We know that he's mentioned here in the Bible. He's mentioned one time. We know that his name means sorrow. There's something sorrowful about his circumstance, about his upbringing, about his life. That's all that we know. But it seems like Jabez just stands up as a mountain peak. In all of these nine chapters here in 1 Chronicles, he stands up like a bright and shining light, and it's just like he stands up from the multitudes of people that are mentioned there. And he said, you know, I just wish the Lord would bless me. I just pray that God would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that his hand would be with me, and that he would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That evil, again, it makes me think about Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that, if you look that up in the Bible, what you will find is that there's an exclamation point on the end of his prayer. So I find in his prayer there is earnestness. I find in his prayer there is expectation from the Lord. He prayed in faith. He prayed earnestly. And then I love the last little phrase in verse number 10. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, how did that come about? We don't know. The Bible does not say, but I believe with all my heart, God really blessed him. And it was very evident in his life. Here's a man who just asked in faith and God blessed him. And so he said those things. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So I want to encourage you today, as you are listening in, you might say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, but I sure am concerned about the young people, I'm concerned about my church, I'm concerned about this or that. I want to encourage you to be a person of prayer and just be like Jabez. You don't have to be known. In fact, I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of people that we're going to meet and come into contact with up there that you never heard of, but you'll find out they were one of God's principal instruments for victory down here upon this earth. Not that they were famous, not that they ever preached, or not that they ever went anywhere with the gospel, but they went to war on their knees and they prayed and they believed God. And I'll tell you, that's what we need in our country today. We need some people that'll pray and get a hold of the Lord and believe him for his blessings upon our families, our schools, our churches, and our nation. I sure do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you've got a blessing out of it. And Lord willing, if you'll tune in next week at this same time, we'll continue on with our study on Heroes of Prayer. Noah's going to come and give her contact information. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's www.mtlebanonbc.org.